This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Justine Lee, and I'm an emergency critical care veterinary specialist and toxicologist. Thanks for joining us. Today, I'm really excited to talk to you about something that I used to hate as a topic as a vet, and that's feline infectious peritonitis. And we're going to be speaking with Adelaide Book in just a few minutes. We'll be right back after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. Today, I'm really excited to talk about FIP. So for all you cat owners out there, you're going to want to tune in. Welcome to the show, Adelaide Boak. Adelaide, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me today.
All right. Just so our audience knows who you are, give us a little bit of background about who you are, what you do, and what you're doing now.
So I went to school at the University of Texas at Austin. I actually majored in nutrition, but while I was in school, I got really involved with fostering. And in 2019, I got involved in the FIP, feline infectious peritonitis scene. I graduated in 2020 and decided to pivot and went into becoming a veterinary technician and did volunteering with cats and FIP on the side. This year in August, I actually quit my job in the clinic to focus my efforts on FIP advocacy, consultation, and I do a lot of data tracking and research full time.
Wonderful. Well, really appreciate your dedication to FIP. Now, for those of you guys who don't know what FIP is, I'm assuming you've never had an exposure or a cat that was sick with FIP, which is a good thing. When it comes to FIP, we've done previous episodes a long time ago, episode 87 on feline infectious peritonitis. And the reason why this topic is so, so important is because it used to be a death sentence. I more recently in episode 175 talked with Dr. Vicki Thayer, who's a diplomat of the American Board of Veterinary Practice. And we talked extensively about FIP, but a lot has changed in the past few years when it comes to FIP. So I'm excited to talk to you about it today. Now, could you let us know a little bit more information about FIP for all our listeners out there? What is it? And what is dry versus wet? And what are the treatment modalities that used to be out there? And how do you diagnose it? What do you do about it?
So I am not a veterinarian, but FIP is a fatal disease. It only affects cats, typically young cats, but it can happen at any age. It's a mutation of a common virus in cats, actually, called feline enteric coronavirus. It affects somewhere between 0.3 to 1.4% of cats who have been infected with this virus. And you can find information about how common it is on SOCFIP, which is Dr. Peterson's website from UC Davis. The two main forms of FIP, wet FIP and dry FIP. Wet FIP always has some kind of a fluid accumulation. So they may have it in their abdomen or it may collect around their lungs. It can also be in other locations, but those are the two main spots that the fluid builds. And then in dry FIP, that can involve things like granulomas, enlarged lymph nodes, but it's generally a very sick cat that's not responding to other kinds of treatments. Or they can develop lesions in their brain or eyes where their eyes might change color or turn red or cloudy. The treatment modalities for FIP in the past have included supportive care and a few different antiviral therapies, but without success, until about 2017, a medication called GS441524 was used in a trial to treat over 20 cats, with most of them achieving remission or cure.
All right. So thank you so much for bringing it up. You know, I've had the unfortunate experience of having to explain and diagnose FIP before, and it is really, really complicated. And again, I do really encourage you to listen to that older episode on FIP that I recorded with Dr. Vicki Thayer, because we did talk about some of the complications of testing for FIP. And unfortunately, the FIP test is complex. And the main reason why is because a negative test is actually the most helpful answer that you get. So if your cat happens to have symptoms of FIP, your vet does a blood test, and the test is positive, there are a lot of causes for a false positive or other reasons. So if I get a negative on the FIP test, that actually helps me more, because when I get that, it means I'm able to rule out that coronavirus. The frustrating thing with a positive FIP test is it just means your cat is positive for some type of coronavirus, right? It's not specific for FIP necessarily. Now, you brought up the clinical signs, you brought up some of the tests that we'll do. But again, the difference between dry and wet FIP typically are that, again, one is effusive, which makes the body sort of leak fluid. And so the classic clinical signs I'll see with FIP are what we call in the veterinary world, what we call ADR, ain't doing right. So the cat is hiding, the cat is dehydrated, it doesn't want to eat, maybe vomiting a little, has a fever, just isn't acting like their normal self. And depending on what our physical examination finds, is sometimes, again, it may be that change in the color of the iris where it almost looks fuzzy. And that's what we call a uveitis, or inflammation of the uvea in the eye. Sometimes it's really vague symptoms like not eating and vomiting. And that's because FIP can affect different parts of the intestinal tract. Sometimes if it's that wet or effusive FIP, it can result in huge fluid accumulation within the abdomen. So you'll notice that your cat's belly may be getting bigger and bigger. And I should step back and say, with FIP, classically, when I see it, it's usually younger cats. So cats, you know, 2 years old, that even if they were indoor, were adopted or purchased. Oftentimes we see this more in purebred cats at catteries. So it can be a really debilitating, frustrating disease. But that said, some of the newest treatments out there are now improving the outcome. Again, this used to be a death sentence, and so much of that has changed. That said, when it comes to the treatment for FIP, why is it that most veterinarians in the United States and other parts of the world can't actually prescribe the treatment for FIP?
So yes, the reason why we can't use GS441524 in a veterinary environment is because it's actually not approved for any FDA use. It is currently held under the patent with Gilead, and they are currently researching human drugs for the treatment of COVID-19, which includes a related drug to GS441524 called remdesivir. It currently has conditional approval for the treatment of COVID-19, but until it has full FDA approval, it cannot be used off-label in the veterinary world.
All right. So knowing that and knowing how difficult it is, where do you recommend that people go to get up-to-date information and knowledge, or even the latest updates and research on FIP?
The places that I recommend getting excellent information about FIP are going to be SOCKFIP.org. That's SOCKFIP.org. It stands for Saving Our Cats and Kittens from FIP. It's an informative website created by Dr. Peterson, as well as other veterinarians from UC Davis and other associates. Dr. Peterson is regarded as the leading expert on FIP. So it's my belief that this is the best resource for current information, because he is an award-winning PhD veterinarian. He devoted his life to research and has spent more than 50 years in research and earned many awards for his contributions to feline medicine and feline retroviral research.
All right. Thank you so much. I will also advocate for Cornell Feline Health Center that has a lot of great information on anything feline. So when in doubt, you definitely want to check that out. I always say when in doubt, EDU websites are very, very credible for a lot of the research that's up there. And again, it's frustrating because FIP was always considered non-treatable, right? It was really just symptomatic supportive care, which is a fancy way of saying we're trying to minimize some of the symptoms. We're trying to hydrate them with fluid therapy. We're trying to drain that fluid off their belly if they have wet FIP. Maybe it was giving blood transfusions. Maybe it was treating with topical steroids on their eyes if they had uveitis. Maybe it was treating with oral steroids to help decrease some of the inflammation in the body. So really, up to GS441524, there weren't a lot of treatment options. So it is really frustrating just because vets can't truly prescribe it. But I will say that's one of the good things about COVID-19 in that it helped us be able to get more information about the treatment of FIP for cats. Now, how has the public perception for the treatment of FIP changed in the last 6 years?
The public perception has changed a lot over time with treatment for FIP. It's gone from, as you described, or the way I describe it a little differently, the boogeyman of cat diseases. It's this dreaded disease that if your cat got it, there was nothing you could do about it. But now it's become a treatable disease that cat owners can feel empowered to tackle and beat. FIP treatment is at the cutting edge of feline medicine development, and more vets and pet owners are learning every day that it's treatable, thanks to advocacy from organizations like SocFIP, Everyday Cat Health, and the nonprofit Zen by Cat. Especially Zen by Cat, they're a nonprofit organization that they raise awareness and they also raise funds for the research that has led to the cures that we've been able to discover. Actually, the owner of Zen by Cat, Peter Cohen, he has one of the first cats that was ever treated for FIP in the flagship treatment study in 2017 that was published in 2018, where they treated 26 cats for 12 weeks and showed successful cure. Today, despite barriers to treatment due to legality and scope of practice, many vets are supportive of cat parents who pursue treatment for FIP in the capacity that they legally can.
Wonderful. Great information. We'll be right back with this really important information right after these messages.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to ER Vet on Pet Life Radio. We've been speaking with Adelaide, and we've been talking about feline infectious peritonitis. Again, we've had a couple of episodes previously on FIP, so you definitely want to check those out. But when it comes to FIP or feline infectious peritonitis, remember it's that viral disease, feline coronavirus. Again, we typically see it in younger cats, typically less than really 7 months to 1.5 years of age. And again, we often think that it's transmitted when an infected queen passes it on to their kittens. So sometimes we can see this in shelters or catteries, mostly in purebred cats. And so again, can be really frustrating because FIP used to be considered a death sentence. Earlier, we talked about wet versus dry FIP and how it can be really difficult to diagnose because of testing. And again, the clinical signs are really, really vague, from fluid accumulation to that pot-bellied appearance to difficulty breathing to really, really vague clinical signs such as discoloration or abnormal looking eyes to things like diarrhea to not eating. So again, the clinical signs can be really, really frustrating. Earlier, we also talked about how testing for FIP is hard because there's no definitive test to diagnose FIP. And most of the time when we're doing it, we're looking at antibody levels or what we call titers, and they can't always tell and distinguish between feline coronavirus and feline infectious peritonitis. So again, a negative test means a lot more to me than a positive test. We talked about whether or not it can be treated. And up to this point, it's really been symptomatic supportive care. And I'm hoping that the FDA will one day approve these drugs that we know are out there in the world for FIP. But as of right now in the United States, veterinarians can't actually prescribe it. So I did want to ask a couple of last few questions when it comes to FIP. What's coming up next in support for pet parents for FIP? And is there anything new in research or treatment that's coming down the pipe?
Yes, absolutely. There are so many developments that have happened just in the time period that I have been involved in helping cats with FIP. There's more information available. There's more support than there ever had been before. There are numerous support Facebook groups where cat owners can speak to each other and get support on what is going on and advice. And there's also specialized websites and resources that exist to get information and make sure that it's reputable information. What's coming next in research is most exciting. The research is ongoing for better treatments to have available and learn more about cats who are treated for FIP. Currently, there's a research trial that is open for enrollment through the Colorado State University using molnupiravir as the antiviral therapy. Molnupiravir is actually already being used in Europe with great success for the treatment of FIP. The trial is called Evaluation of New FIP Immunotherapy for Cats Being Treated with Antiviral Therapy. It's being led by Dr. Petra Chern at CSU. So I'd highly recommend checking that out if anyone is facing FIP and wants to help with furthering research as well as helping their cat. Currently, I am collecting a large amount of data on cats who are treated with GS through a specialized tracking website that I created. Information like the cat's weight over time, their blood work values over time, any comorbid conditions that they have, as well as side effects reported with the medication, and much, much more. I hope to have this information published, as currently we have ongoing data collection for about 1,400 cats since May of 2023, and that number grows every day. I'm so excited for how much more we are going to know about the outcomes of these cats in the next 2 to 5 years, and developments into alternative antivirals that will hopefully readily get FDA approval and become available to our veterinarians to prescribe and treat these cats.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. We just need a very philanthropic feline owner who can help us in this process because it is a really important battle. You know, the question that I wanted to leave with that a lot of pet owners will often ask is, how can I protect my cat from getting FIP? And I will say, while there is one licensed FIP vaccine out there, please know this is one of the vaccines we do not actually advocate for. It's not recommended by the American Association of Feline Practitioners. And the main reason why is because it's got questionable efficacy. And while the vaccine is safe, the benefits don't really outweigh the benefit of giving the vaccine. It will also make your cat test positive for FIP on the antibody titer because of that. So again, while there's a vaccine out there, we as veterinary professionals don't actually advocate for it right now. And unfortunately, there's no great way of protecting your cat from FIP. If your cat came from a high density cattery or shelter, it is often really hard because when we see cats housed in those situations, that crowded living condition can actually contribute to stress. It can contribute to infectious disease. And we do know that feline coronavirus is actually really contagious. But again, it's not thought that the coronavirus that mutates into the malignant FIP is that contagious. So again, a lot more information is coming down the pipe. And again, I do hope that this one day gets FDA approved because it is so helpful for us to be able to make sure that our feline patients are healthy and that we do have a treatment option for cats with what used to be a devastating disease, FIP. Adelaide, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate all that you do. And thank you again.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Find me at drjustinelee.com, on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Justine Lee, or email me your questions at drjustine@petliferadio.com. With that, we're out of time, and we would like to thank Adelaide Boak and Mark Winter, our producer, for making this show possible. See you at the next episode.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.